I have somebody who's on top of the powerlifting world, as well as the big talk in the strongman community right now. And that, of course, is world record holder in the deadlift, top 10 in dot score, both 242 and 275 class. Sarah Schiff, thanks for joining me, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is an exciting time for the strength community. This invite that you got to Lithium St. Anne to arguably pull the heaviest weight to ever be pulled, not necessarily in powerlifting, because we have to make that clear first, right? Because you hold currently the world record, a tongue twister, the heaviest deadlift ever performed by a woman. That's currently a world record for you at 640.2 pounds.
Yes.
And now you're going into the strongman world, just to pull, straps and hitching allowed, as we know. How are you feeling right now?
I'm super excited. Super excited to try, you know, and I guess suit is fair game too.
Oh, so that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't decided if I'm going to pull in a suit or not yet, but I'm super excited to pull strongman style.
You know, you've got to be, because I got to remind my audience out there that your 640 pull was raw. So the idea that you now get to kind of, you know, use these assists a little bit, this hitch potentially, we'll talk about that in a minute, the straps and now the suit. I mean, is there a number in the back of your mind right now, Sarah, knowing that you have the ability to use these tools now at your disposal that you might find yourself maybe pulling? Give us a little sneak peek.
So I definitely want that record, right? So I definitely want the
652.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or 661, I guess it is, right? So in pounds. And then anything up from there. I mean, every female deadlifter wants 700 pounds right now, right? Yeah. So in a perfect world, that would be what would happen. But, you know, right now I would be happy just breaking the record that Lucy Underdown holds.
Yeah, and I understand Lucy was reached out to try to be a part of this. I don't know how that's going or how that went, or maybe that's another sneak surprise we'll have for you and Victoria as you get to this competition. But in any case, you say every woman wants to pull 700, but we know that there's probably only about four or five on the planet that are even capable of uttering that number and saying it's possible, and you're one of them. That's just got to be a crazy feeling. Let me remind you, there's, 8 billion people in the world? And half of those are women, and only one is ever going to, I mean, maybe three or four will eventually get to that 700-pound mark as we know it in the near future. That's just crazy to me.
It's surreal, really. I never imagined that I would be here at all. This was, the whole deadlifting thing was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't grow up thinking, wow, I'm disproportionately strong. It's something that I didn't discover until I was in my mid-30s.
Which is something we have to hit on a little bit here, because, being a little bit more mature, right? We'll say it like that. You kind of discovered this strength later in your life, as you just mentioned. I mean, a lot of us assume once we're in our 30s, the game's over. But for you, it really just began.
Exactly. I started CrossFitting and discovered that I could deadlift relatively well. But for CrossFit, a 300-pound deadlift is impressive.
Yeah.
So I could do that. And then, a person, a friend of mine said, you really should try powerlifting. And I didn't try that until I was 40. Wow. And so then at that point, I realized, I'm strong. And so therefore I should try and work on this. And it just built the last 7 or 8 years since there.
Oh my gosh. Sarah, this is one of those moments that I just have to take myself back for a minute and imagine you knowing you had this superpower in your early 20s. We would have already seen 700, I'm guessing.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I would almost guarantee it at this point. So you discovered this superpower in CrossFit, which is a great deadlift, which is a very unique skill. Because as we know, and certainly in the strongman community, there's a lot of folks out there that are just really good at it inherently, and there's just some that really struggle with it. But you not only deadlift, and we love to hear this, at least I do, not even in the strongman side of things, but you're a conventional deadlifter, which is unique in itself in some ways as well, because a large majority of not just the powerlifting world, but women in particular, sumo's kind of taken over. But did you ever attempt to go one that way as well, or was conventional always kind of working for you?
So conventional has always worked for me, but I have always pulled sumo. So my coach believes that you are a stronger puller if you could do both. So I pull sumo, you know, at least, you know, I pull for some type of a max every 4 to 6 weeks in sumo. I'm not a fan at all. Yeah. I hate it.
Okay.
But I do pull so that I'll be stronger in the conventional deadlift.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody can argue with that. I mean, there's just the mechanics of it are slightly different, and you're getting to work other muscles or put more emphasis on other muscles than you would conventionally. But the fact that you're kind of tall, aren't you?
I'm 6 foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the leverages, you would assume then, it's almost an anomaly in some cases, because you see taller people have such better result with conventional, but in the back of your mind, sometimes you're thinking, wait, wouldn't it make more sense to be shorter and having more success? But your leverages are incredible at 6 foot tall.
I'm very lucky that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would agree then that being a bit taller, being a conventional deadlifter, does provide maybe just that little advantage maybe when it comes to having that extra leverage for strength?
I think so. It's the long limbs, the long arms. I think that's really what helps.
Okay. Yeah, because you have a bit of a narrow stance too, I notice.
I do.
Yeah, which is maybe a bit unusual, because you do see a lot more even conventional pullers kind of hybrid a little bit, going more of a snatch grip kind of stance. But yours, as I noticed in your videos, was fairly narrow compared to most, I would say, narrower than any.
Well, and my strength is in my back and in my hammies, right? I'm not as strong in my quads or in my hips. And so that narrow stance really serves me well.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been trying to play around with some of these rules, like say hitching? I talked to John Hack, I don't know, about a month and a half ago. And John said, listen, I don't even want to mess with it, because I don't want it in my head as a power lifter. Is it something you're considering, or at least putting kind of on the shelf in case you need to use it? Or do you just plan on pulling this suit straps just, you know, as clean as it could be?
No, I'm absolutely, if hitching's going to help, I mean, particularly if it's going to get me closer to 700, I'm going to hitch.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you know, interestingly,
I love it the other way too, but that's good to know, because we want to see 700, darn it.
It's funny though, it's hard, right? Because for so many years I've trained to have a clean lift and as clean as possible so that it'll pass judging. You know, I have to be reminded to hitch. Like, they have to scream at me, you know, you need to start hitching now.
Yeah, it is kind of it's a learned behavior a bit. It's like, I get that a lot from people. Like I saying just go ahead and hitch is much easier said than done. You know who's really good at it, of course, is one of the ladies you're going to see out there in England is Rhea. Rhea's great at it. If you ever watch some of her, boy, it's like second nature to her. She just knows how to throw those knees quickly. So there is a bit of an art form to it. So to take a power lifter that's been so strict for so many years and say, okay, just go ahead and hitch, it might very well throw you off if you even attempted it with little to no practice.
Yeah. I'm definitely practicing it as much as I can now. That and the straps, because I think the straps have a big impact too.
Pardon? You like those straps? Are you using figure eights right now?
I just switched to figure eights, and I'm still working out where to take a breath, right at the bottom or at the top, and what's going to work best for me. That's the hardest part for me. Is the straps are fine, you know. It's when to take the breath.
Yeah, I think one of the nice things about figure eights, as you probably notice, is you can get a kind of a more of a fingertip pull with that, a little higher start. Or are you wrapping pretty tight?
It's a pretty loose grip right now, because I'm trying to get in as fast as I can.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering maybe how you were going to position yourself for that. I'm sure your grip can handle it regardless, but, you know, to take your mind off that entirely, so you're that way you essentially are going over now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, boy, I can only imagine how much fun you're having in your brain right now. This is, you know, the idea that all you have to do is get up with this weight and lock it out, and not say fuck all to all the judges, because there's not going to be any other than one saying down. That's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, this is, and it's funny talking to you, because people don't understand like how exciting this is and how fun this is for me, right? Because, you know, it's an random thing to be doing, to be pulling trying to pull 700 in a meet. People don't understand, but yeah, I am really, really excited to try this.
It's kind of like, it's just kind of like going back to your roots and just having fun in the gym when you go to a competition like this and saying, okay, I just got to pull it off the ground. You know, that's all I got to do to, you know, to pass the class today. And, you know, that's what's going to be fun out there. What did, so did you see this coming? What was the conversation you got? How did Luke reach out to you for this or Rhea reach out to you for this? I mean, kind of bring me back to that moment when they invited you to do this. And what was your first thought?
Well, you know, interesting. Do you know Jacob McBride?
Yes, I know Jacob well.
He connected us, yes.
He did, yes.
Yeah, so Jacob had kind of said to me, wouldn't it be cool if you did this? And so I think he reached out to them, and they said, yeah, this would be a great idea. I was nervous at first, right, because this is new, and I hadn't pulled strongman style. But then just the opportunity to travel, you know, to go across the world and be, you know, in that, under that lens, you know, it was very exciting. I was, yeah, you know, very, very pleased. So they reached out and, you know, I signed on immediately. And I also said pretty early on, wouldn't it be cool if somebody else came and competed along with me?
Yeah.
You know, cause I thought, I just think that'd be so much better, right? As many strong women as possible trying to pull for a max, I think would exciting and fantastic. So that had been my suggestion early on. And I'm sure that Rhea and Luke were thinking about that, you know, themselves. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how it went. And then eventually, you know, we have one other lifter coming on, Victoria is coming on, which is exciting, super exciting. And, you know, maybe Lucy will come. I hope. I think that would be really cool. But yeah,
boy, that would just be an all-star lineup of, well, the three biggest pullers in the world, right? I mean, who doesn't want to see that? That would be just fantastic. And I hope that happens too. And knowing Luke and Rhea, they're probably still working on that. But in the meantime, you know, the spotlight's going to be on you and Victoria. And have you had a chance to talk or meet Victoria in the past? Or what's your relationship with her?
I knew her. I knew of her. Everybody knows of her because she's so amazing. But I did reach out, and we have had some interactions on Instagram. And I'm really looking forward to meeting her in person.
Yeah, she is a wonderful person. I've got a chance to meet her and talk to her and interview her, of course, and super humble. I mean, she's just one of those gals, like most of you super strong women and men out there, just super humble and laid back and don't realize really what a superhero you are amongst our community with what you're able to do. Did you see her pull for the Arnold?
I did.
Now, big question. Would you have given her at least two white lights for that pull, Sarah?
Victoria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, would be honest now. That was a pretty clean lift, I thought.
It was a very clean lift. It was a very clean lift. Yeah. It was really impressive. And she had more in the tank. I wish they'd given her another attempt.
Yeah. It's weird how that worked. And you know, she even had more in the tank because I mentioned it on my show the other day. That was not the first event. You know, the idea that if she would have gone in fresh, obviously, it's going to make for a great conversation in competition now leading into England. But, and certainly with both of you, I think there's a distinct advantage in both ways there. So the idea that you get to kind of use these tools now that you haven't had a chance to use before can get you to that 700-pound mark. And the fact that Victoria came off a great third attempt and honestly could have gone more and being maybe a little exhausted leading up to that point, boy, this is going to be a neck-and-neck race, I think. How did Luke lay it out to you guys? Is there going to be a single attempt warm-up? Are you guys going to have a couple opportunities to keep pulling, or is that not even crossing your mind at this point?
We haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you'd have to try to just treat it like a three-attempt competition, I would send, essentially, maybe with that fourth attempt being possible, right? I mean, why not?
Well, and my hope is that if it's still going, if we're still looking like there's more in the tank, that we just keep going until there isn't. I don't know exactly how strongman works, right? But that would be really cool. I think really good things would have happened for Victoria in the deadlift if they'd given her another attempt. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, in England, the same thing will happen. If it looks really good, that maybe there'll be that opportunity for either her or for me.
I have zero doubt. As long as Luke and Rhea are running this show, we're going to see whatever you ladies want to do to make history, I'm sure. And that's what's really fun about this as well. We're not going to have any limitations. I have no doubt in my mind that's what Luke's saying right now, even as he's listening to this for the very first time. No worries, Joe. These girls have every attempt in the world to go over 700 or even beyond that, which is a lot of fun. I think there's something else we need to point out about you. You're a mother of four, right?
I am. Yes.
Yes. So there's been a lot of heavy lifting in your life for a while then.
Definitely.
Oh my goodness. You are just an enigma. You truly are. You know, I mean, just coming into this powerlifting late in life, having these kids in a normal life, as many of us do, we talked about that before the show, and just having this unbelievable superpower of being able to be so strong. How did that all start for you? Let's kind of backtrack a little bit. I know CrossFit got into it, but you entered your first competition then in what year?
Oh, I entered my first competition. I can look it up. I have it right here, interestingly. Yeah. So actually what happened was I was CrossFitting and a friend of mine said, let's do a powerlifting meet. And I just kind of showed up and did a powerlifting meet. And I didn't really understand that it was a sport. And that was in 2012. And I was like 36 or something. And then I didn't do any powerlifting after that. And I was not, it was not an impressive meet. And when I look at this, I deadlifted 300 pounds at that meet.
Okay. Right. Boy, so long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And then about 4 years later, when I was 40, someone said, hey, you should powerlift. I joined a powerlifting gym. And then I started competing, training powerlifting style. And then that next meet, I pulled 540. So, 220-pound improvement.
Wow. And just to think you're 40 years old and doing that, again, I keep going back to that in my head. It's just an anomaly. It truly is an anomaly. I'm a master's guy myself. And there's obviously you're rewriting the books when it comes to growing muscle and recovery and that kind of thing, because you're continuing to get stronger and better. Is there anything in your training that you've done a little bit differently maybe than you would have done 10 years ago? I mean, this is kind of a shout out to all you masters competitors out there that are watching or listening to Sarah do all these amazing things. I mean, what would the advice that you would give anybody? I mean, is there something, a different formula you're using?
Honestly, it's about listening to your body as you get older. I can't do the volume that I could do before. So I have to be really careful about the movements that I'm picking to do. You know, I have a really great coach who understands that I'm older. And I think it's really important to have a coach who understands that they're coaching masters athletes. So I don't do everything that my teammates do or everything that my training partners do, because I can't keep up. I can't recover fast enough at this age.
Yeah, that would be the detriment to a lot of masters competitors. I think you just hit right on it. And now that I kind of think about it, yeah, that does make sense, because it's the idea that you just can't think in your mind you can do what everybody else is doing. You're on a different program. You mentioned making sure you have a coach that understands the masters world a bit as well. Who is that coach for you?
Jesse Burdick out of CSA Gym.
Yeah, Jesse comes with a long resume and a good reputation in the business. You know, he's a strength guy for sure. How long have you been working with him?
Oh, 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. A long time.
Is he going to England with you?
I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe.
Okay.
You know, he's got a pack of kids himself, and summer's hard with sports and other things.
It is, and it's an expensive trip, as we know, and it's tough. We may always make, I think in the powerlifting community as well, we wish we can get the world together more often. Because it would make for a great competition sometimes. And the fact that we got a lot of Americans, of course, going over to that U90 Classic that you're going to be a part of that day, which will be exciting. I think not only for you to be there and compete, but for you to watch these guys, and certainly John Hack, because I know you know John, so being able to there to cheer him on, as a lot of the world is right now, which is pretty amazing. Have you ever thought about doing Strong Woman? Has that crossed your mind at all?
Absolutely, but I have a terrible overhead press. That is my limitation.
That was my next question, by the way. What was your overhead?
Yeah, my overhead press is terrible. I don't even know what it is at this point, but that is my weakest movement.
Yeah. If that's your weakest movement, is good posterior chain you are in lower body, I still think you do pretty well. I mean, you could take one and just write it off and get the other four, you know what I mean?
I would love to try it at some point. Right now, the focus has just been on deadlifting as much as I humanly can. But, you know, Master Strong Woman is definitely, you know, on my radar.
I think you would do well. I really do. What about your training right now for powerlifting? Let's kind of, I know you, that's always in your mind, whether you're getting ready for this competition or not. What is the next event for you coming up this year in 2023?
I am going to be doing the American Pro in Virginia, the WRPF American Pro.
What a great October event that is. Yeah. Looking to break your own record, I'm sure.
Yes, and Tamara Walcott is going to be there. So we're going head to head. I actually just switched from wraps to sleeves for the squat so that we can go head to head. So I'm really excited about that too.
Wow, you got a busy year of, like, you know, just becoming the strongest woman in the world, essentially. Now, if you beat Victoria and you beat Tamara in the same year, I got to tell you, you're going to be a big part of my podcast because I'll be talking about you, because nobody can argue that. I always say who's the strongest, and somehow we try to, you know, we try to come up with a formula that we could take these power lifters and strongmen sometimes and just, we're all curious, you know? And really, that's the great thing about strength sports, because this is kind of how our sports started way back in the day, right? Everybody just kind of got involved in them, and we found out who was stronger. Nowadays, it's very in your lane kind of thing. It's not too often strongmen cross over to powerlifting, of course, because none of them got a fucking bench press to save their lives. We know that. They're terrible bench pressers, but certainly powerlifters have a better opportunity. That's what I'm getting at here.
Definitely.
What about your bench press? Where's that at, by the way?
Somewhere around 300 pounds, like 315.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's so not a raw press too, right? Yeah. That's great. You kidding me? Jeez, oh, Pete. So your total then, your best total?
My total's like 15, you know, 14, mid 14s. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very elite, of course. Who's your, who are some of the powerlifting women right now that you're looking at, just kind of that are wowing you in the sport? All classes?
All classes. Well, you know, Karina Davis, who is a super heavyweight at 275 as well, is amazing. You know, there are some up-and-comers. Christy Hawkins is probably the best powerlifter, a female powerlifter, that there ever has been. And I'm lucky enough to be able to train with her periodically.
Oh, nice.
So, and just watching her, she's just amazing. You know, there's so many, and so many up and coming, and there's some really great up and coming deadlifters too, that just kind of, like Denise Herber, for instance, just kind of came out of the woodwork and is now pulling 600. It's you know, it's really exciting for women in powerlifting right now.
It was a loaded question, really, because just to, you could hardly not throw a dart and hit about, you know, so many names that are just amazing right now. I say the same thing in strongman community right now. We just have such a great women's contingency that are just breaking down these barriers every single weekend when it comes to these competitions, when it comes to what we thought where they would be strength-wise, right? And we see it in powerlifting all the time. One of my personal favorites, she's a friend of mine, is Amber Hansen. I love Amber. I mean, she is intense as it gets. A lot of fun to watch. I love watching her train and roller skate and everything else. I always say, Amber, you got to do strong woman. You would just kick ass if you did. Well, and but there's a lot of you out there.
Yeah, and Amber does good things for the powerlifting community in general, right? I mean, she's really an active part of making powerlifting for everybody and a better place for everybody.
Yes.
So she's really, I mean, on top of being super, super strong.
Yeah, it's great, right? We got all these great ambassadors of both our sports, and I think powerlifting certainly has reached all new levels in the last couple of years as far as the amount of competitors now, certainly the amount of airtime, right? Both these sports are getting, and thanks to a lot of the live streaming that's available now. So now people like Sarah Schiff and John Hack and all these great strongmen as well get all this, like, I guess there's this new light shined on who's who in the sport a little bit. And it makes it so much fun for the rest of us, because now we kind of are there right with you when you perform these great feats of strength, and we can not just read about them nowadays. Of course, I'm going back, right? You and I, Sarah, we're a little bit older. There wasn't internet forever when we were younger. Yes. We used to actually have to read shit in magazines. Now we're getting in real time. It's like we're a part of each other's lives a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said it just makes it so much more accessible to the world. And there are so many more women now that think it's acceptable to be strong and to look like they're strong, because they're seeing people in real time, other women in real time doing these things. So it really is just broadening the strength world for women in particular across the board.
Yeah, you know, strength is the new sexy, right, Sarah? I mean, it's just... There's nothing wrong with it. Every guy loves it too. Of course, there's a lot of guys out there that you girls are pushing us, actually. there's this ego thing involved as well. When we hear that 700 pound deadlift mark that we've talked about, and everybody, the world's talking about, the idea that we're even having this conversation right now, again, not just about you and Victoria, but other women as well now coming up, to say there's more than even one that has an opportunity, it is crazy to think about. When you look at the stats that came through even just 4 or 5 years ago, to think that we would ever reach these benchmarks so quickly, what do you, besides the fact that it's become more socially acceptable to be strong as a woman, is there anything else you attribute that to?
I think training, I think that people are willing to go to any length at this point. They're really willing to, make this a real focus in their lives and a real commitment. So, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I think opportunity, right? We always hear the easy answers are, of course, training and socially acceptable mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But really, it's opportunity, I think, is the big thing. To have this competitions and these competitions like Luke's doing for Chaos and what the American Pro did for powerlifting in a short period of time, Pioneer, of course, and others that you're a part of in your sport, we share the same commonality in our sport. We have bigger competitions now that provide these platforms to really sort of showcase these great athletes where, you don't have to go back too far and realize there was only 1, 2, or 3 a year. And when you have a real life, and I say real life, raising kids and having a job, you can't get to them all, but having more opportunity makes that more of a, an opportunity for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really amazing what people are doing. And, the role that people are playing in their sports, right? That people are invested in making this better for everybody. The amazing promoters that you made up. I mean, people are not making money. Like, we had mentioned early on, we don't make money doing this. No. But people just, out of the goodness of their hearts are putting these things forward so that everybody has these opportunities.
Yeah, it is so true. I mean, and that goes without saying through all facets of these sports, there isn't anybody getting rich off this stuff. It truly is for the love of the game. And I think that's why we all put forth as much effort as we can to promote our own sports through any capacity, whether that is an old strongman trying to be a podcaster now or, a CrossFitter becoming a strong woman. I mean, we're crossing over and we're doing all these things to kind of keep ourselves within this sport or this gym culture, right? This community that we love so much. And we're going to find ourselves in a lot of different roles over a period of our lifetime doing this stuff. But I think that's exciting now too, because again, we can all still manage to be a part of it. Do you train anybody yourself, Sarah? Is there anything you do outside of being an athlete right now in the sport?
No, I have my training partners that I work with, but I'm not a coach. That takes, from my perspective, that takes some real talent. Being a good coach is a gift. And I have some gifts and being a coach is not one for me. I love working with, new powerlifters who may come into our gym and being of help to them and being of support. But I leave the programming and that kind of stuff to the experts.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that, right? Because there are some of people out there that probably should do the same thing. Let's just say that. Not everybody's a coach because you're a great athlete. That goes without saying in every sport. I'm not coaching. Of course, I wasn't that great of an athlete. But my point is, we're not all cut out to be coaches, like you just said. Yeah, I concur. So you're heading to, you're getting out there. Let's go back to the competition real quick before we finish up. So as we know, it's end of July. Are you getting out there quite a bit early? Are you concerned with the travel? Is it something you've done before? When do you plan on rolling in there?
Probably about 4 or 5 days beforehand, just so that I can unfold. I've got long legs. I'm really tall. So I can unfold myself after the plane ride and stretch out for a little while, get accustomed to, the weather's not a big deal, but just getting accustomed to being there. Yeah. Then I like to see the venue before I compete. So go and check that out and on all of that stuff.
Have some fish and chips and hit a couple pubs and that kind of fun stuff too. Yeah, absolutely. The great thing about being a powerlifter and a strong person is, essentially we're not worried about dieting into a show. So it's us open people, right, Sarah? I mean, we can do whatever we want. So who's going out there with you? Your husband's going out there with you? Who's going out there with you?
My husband's going out with me. I think Jacob is going out. And I don't know yet. We're kind of still working out who else might come. But probably some of my teammates.
Oh, I see how Jacob got out there now. He couldn't qualify. So he had, I see you. I see what you're doing. You know what? I want to make it a point right now to use your interview to tell Jacob McGride, listen, damn it, get the job done next time because there's no reason he shouldn't be there. The guy's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Nobody trains harder than Jacob. He just got to get his speed down. He needs to get faster.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, he works. I mean, he's there at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's amazing, making sure that he gets all that work
all day long. Yep. Yeah. He really is. No, and he's in great condition too. I mean, geez, oh, Pete's. He's yeah. I don't think he's dropping weight classes anytime soon because there's not an ounce of fat on that guy's body right now.
You know what? But he's doing it. He is dropping like 20 and 30 pounds back and forth. I mean, he's done it 3 or 4 times now.
Maybe that's his problem then. Maybe he needs to be a 105 guy and quit trying to be a 90s guy.
Maybe.
Just add some bulk.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'll give Jacob a hard time till the end of time because he deserves it because he's always one of those guys that, you know, it sometimes is the outside looking in, but he's often there, and it's him not to be at that competition, again, is a real head scratcher for me. So, but in any case, he's found his way out there. Jacob, you know I love you. No offense to any of this. You'll be there next time, I'm sure. But Sarah, I am looking so forward to meeting you. You are a pleasant person to talk to. I get this great energy from you. You just love life right now, and to be where you're at, why wouldn't you?
I'm having a really good time right now, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thanks again, and I'll be rooting for you and talking about you on my podcast leading all the way up to the show itself, and then give Victoria hell. But you know, I'm a strong man. I'm a little bit on the fence here now after meeting you. I don't know. I'll give my predictions right before, and you guys won't even see them until after the show, so not that it even matters. Have a good one. Thank you so much.